Okay, so has Lustra recovered emotionally? Because I know he hasn't, but have you recovered emotionally, David, from actually having a hell of an episode last week?
It's called acting. I'm okay.
It's called repressing it. I'm fine.
Listen, I know you're already not fine, Colin. Let's be real.
be a man. Repress your feelings.
Ouch.
Oh, man.
No, but too real. Honestly, though, like, I mean, yeah, that was an amazing episode. And it felt strange kind of taking such, like, center spotlight. That's normally Colin's job. But wow.
Okay, you know what? You know what? Tess is taking the wheel, baby.
So it was kind of strange being such the center of attention, but, you know, I feel like it went really well, and I was very impressed with how everything went.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Storyline development, fantastic development in Lustra's arc. It was awesome.
Hell yeah. I don't know. I'm still upset that you didn't skip down Griffin Hill with her, but, you know, that's... But
there might be skipping still. Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, but that would probably muddy your boots, wouldn't it?
Oh, I've already changed the laces on them, as Rena was willing to point out. Like,
just waiting for her to, like, pull the, you know, that famous sailor and nurse picture, but she's the one bending you over and kissing you.
Aw.
Yeah, that's in the cards, I'm sure.
Yeah, let's see your ChatGPT do that.
But all in all, very tense, though, and I'm glad that I got Lustra's feelings out, because I feel like, you know, in high tense moments, Lustra doesn't really have much of a voice, and it was neat to actually get that out in its entirety for once.
Now imagine alternate universe where you never got cured of your "you love everybody" curse.
Dude, I stumbled on that last week, and I was like, do I tell Rena this? I probably shouldn't.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah.
There was a little, like, up.
And there was a week curse where I loved like, everyone.
Yeah, and there was a curse where I, okay.
And then we moved on.
I did not have a relationship with a flying horror.
two of them, yeah.
A flying whore?
Just before we leave Morton in, babe, can you dress in this outfit just a little bit?
Add a couple of arms.
Costume on.
Here, add a couple of arms and scratch the fuck out of my back.
Oh.
Yikes.
Jesus. Here, I made this hat with these two soft ears. Put it on.
That is the worst kind of furry.
Let's just go and play some D&D.
No. Let's go
down
deeper.
This dark timeline.
Oh, man. I was really torn as to like how to
segue,
how to start this episode off. I was thinking, I like to think that right now, Lucer and Rena have come back inside the house and all of you are outside, like on the front porch. Have you ever seen that scene? Or you remember that scene in Forrest Gump where Forrest just like sitting on the porch and he has to listen to his mother bang Elvis upstairs?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how this episode's starting off.
Oh.
Does he have to roll for competence?
I mean, do we get to vote?
I declare sharpshooter.
Oh, no!
We're adults.
Barely.
Oh, man.
You guys want to play D&D?
Yeah.
Sure do.
Please.
All right. Let's do it.
Sweet.
Let's play some D&D.
Fuck, I got a hot wash of shame. Oh, my God.
Last week was a very emotional episode. Storylines moved right along. And we kind of left off with you guys still a little on the fence as to how to move forward, basically. The Weathermay Foxgrove family is very clear that they won't be leaving Mordent as long as the spirit of Daniel Foxgrove is still under the control of Lord Wilfred Godfroy. And as all of you know, there's not really any way for you to guarantee that of happening. And so they're convinced they're not going anywhere. But at the same time, if you took them out right now and chose never to come here again, you know, what kind of danger would you be leaving those folks in? So what's it look like when Rena and Lustra come back inside the house after the rest of you benefit from a short rest, after Troubadour and Amelia do some good progress on a planter, a carrot planter?
I mean, that's it for me. I'm gardening.
Right. All that's changed for Troubadour is that he's now wearing a propeller hat.
I've got a new best friend. I'm into gardening now. I got a propeller hat. Patched up a couple of wounds, mostly because I was bleeding on the soil. And that's it.
Have some oversized work gloves because that's adorable.
I feel like Killian would have taken the time to try and clean himself up a little bit, considering he's still covered in muck and guck and all kinds of other things from when he was captured, not to mention just from his typical vocation. At the same time, he would have also taken a moment to sort of check in with himself, seeing Lustra and Rena be so happy together, sort of, you know, he feels some type of way about that.
And or even sort of skipping into the room.
Thank God.
And, yeah, Killian would definitely be sort of, you know, just checking himself on that respect.
Yeah, and I think Tess would be, like, pacing a little bit. Like, she would have sort of, like, watched the two other people from the material plane, like, leave the house and leave her sight. And she would have become, like, very aware of the fact that this could be her future, of just, like, the only one left stuck here. And so she would just be sort of pacing, like, every so often just looking out the window. And at some point, her eyes would probably fall on our little voyeur across the street. And so I think she's been, while glancing, like, every so often back in the direction that Lustra and Rena would have gone, just out of that sort of almost instinct at this point of, like, I don't like having my eyes off people. I can't keep them safe if I don't know what they're doing and where they are. She's sort of, like, fallen back into the back of the shop and just sort of is inadvertently keeping her eye on Mr. Firon Zalhonen.
Firon Zalhonen. Sure enough, him in what you now know as a familiar, his little raven familiar, Skeever, they're outside of his little dwelling across the street. You can tell he's kind of like angled himself in a position that he can just sort of peek into the window of the apothecary. Very, very nosy.
Yeah. Every so often, we'll just like lean forward, make eye contact, and just be like, do the little like, fingers pointing at my eyes, fingers pointing at him, just like, what? We know you're looking. Oh, you brought up Justin brought up the art again on our screen.
Now Tess is all verklempt.
He's just so cute.
Colin immediately blushed when I did so.
Shut up. It's your fault for having hot NPCs. If it's not him, it'll be Frank the serial killer. But yeah, just a lot of, like, agitation and almost, like, looking up and down the street to see if Lustra's coming back. Because who knows? Maybe the mist will have taken him.
Well, Lustra and Rena come back, and Lustra's going to take the time to properly introduce the crew so that Rena doesn't feel so awkward about this, about the bunch of new faces that she's dealing with.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Maybe give her a little bit more of just like a quick introduction, a quick little, you know, I'm Rena. Hi, I'm Troubadour. Like maybe a little bit more than that.
So we'll start with Troubadour and be like, we met this guy in a black tower. He was in a potato sack.
It's still under the armor. Want to see it? And I use the cast off armor and it all falls off.
Oh!
Happy to see you're not holding your guts in. Nice to see you're in one piece.
He's the strongest bipedal creature I know.
I am ripped as fuck.
And just explain and just, you know, have a little summary of each character. Kind of saying, it's like, look, Troubadour doesn't know who he is, but his actions speak louder than his words, and his words are apparently binding.
And loud.
Boy, howdy, has he definitely shown that, you know, he's willing to work with us and has us at his most highest priority. And go over to Killian, and Killian is like, you know, Killian, we met him literally earlier, like, today, but he definitely knows his way around things, I suppose. Shits himself a lot, I guess.
Hey.
I guess in the percentage of time we have known you, it's a significant portion of your life.
1-for-1 days.
And then, I've shit myself 1 out of 1 days. Yes, thank you.
You know, and then Luster kind of, you know, takes a finger under his collar and airs it out of it, and it's like, this elven woman is a Tess. I've actually known her the longest. She was on the same ship as me in the Material Realm when I was heading to Waterdeep. And we've known each other for about, what, 6 weeks?
If that. Feels like a lot longer. It feels like it's been years.
Yes, it does.
Right, and don't forget that the lad who shit himself is also the one that brokered the deal to get Rena out.
That too. All of them are very lovely people who all have definitely earned my respect, trust, and gratitude. And I hope that you feel the same way about them. And Lustra kind of just shakes his head left and right and like, any questions?
There's definitely, you know, a bit more conversation that goes on for a little bit, you know, some more than just those surface pleasantries. But after that conversation, everyone is left kind of with that same look on their face. Everyone is basically looking at Lustra with this look of, now what?
So I think the next step is, well, we got to kind of do what we said we were going to do. I'm not much of a liar, and I think we should go back to Darkon and grab those schematics. If we happen to find ourselves in the Neverchar Springs while we're at it, I mean, that's not a big deal. That's in the same direction that we're going anyways.
That is part of Darkon, Troubadour says, putting his armor back on.
I feel like that's kind of the play here. Grab schematics and go to Nebchar Springs.
And if we happen to, you know, spot a certain graveyard, maybe, you know, I could say hi. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
You can talk to all the stones you want, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Like this one. It has 1 through 12 on it.
Oh, yeah, who are we giving the Dodecahedron of Doom to?
I think if we give it to fucking Killian, you know I'm just going to shit the bed with it. It's going to roll a 1 immediately.
You're going to drop it under your feet and it's going to explode.
Yeah, like, listen, just the way he's done in combat, no. Like,
I think it should go to the same person with the Rod of Wonder.
So Killian?
Maybe.
Oh, God.
You've got the most utility in combat, and if you don't have the opportunity for sneak attack, that's sort of your major thing. So if you can pull out various, it's a utility belt, buddy. You're the Batman.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I'm just terrified is all.
I'm Wing Horror Man.
Just throw it far enough that it doesn't affect you. And the rest of us.
Yeah, you have hit points. I have evasion.
Exactly.
Is Rod of Wonder attunement? I can't remember.
I'll look it up.
And while we're handing out items, I think Lustral will actually reach into the bag of holding. He's what? Going to swallow his fear. Well, he's front of his woman. And he's going to grab his original rapier and give it to Rena as a means of protection.
What time of the night is it, Justin? Mm. Is it approximately midnight when he's reaching in there? Just
by chance?
Don't do this.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Too much help in the room right now. The bag man shows up.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Should have made the roll when Lustra and Rena were like out on their little jaunt, and somehow we like tied the bag to Lustra's rosary.
Wand of Wonder is attunement, by the way.
Okay.
By a spellcaster, so you can't do it.
Oh.
Yeah. Attunement by a spellcaster.
So that means me or Lustra. And I'm attuned at the wazoo. Lustra, enjoy your Wand of Wonder.
Neat.
I'll take the D12 regardless.
Hooray!
Very well.
Gotta make sure I yeet that thing when I throw it.
Yep.
So yeah, I'll hand a rapier to Rena as a means of protection, because we're going to be leaving soon, and I want her to leave her with something.
Yeah, in all seriousness, this look on her face, it kind of changes as you hand her that rapier, that realization that you've made your choice. And she takes the sword. The Weathermay Foxgrove twins, Jennifer and Lori, for what it's worth, say, we won't take our eyes off her for a second.
Lustra nods and looks to Rena and be like, look, you're going to stab at that. Use your back muscles, body weight, and just like, he's going to be like extra doting and, you know, give her as many pieces of advice for proper swordsmanship as he can in like the next 5 to 10 minutes. Because you know he's going to leave real soon, but it's like, just, you know, you hold it like this, and then, you know, you load up your muscles like this, and try and stab over on this portion, and then that will knock out the wind out of them, and don't use a bow, that's entirely hard.
I'm imagining Patrick Swayze in Ghost, but with a rapier instead of a clay wheel. Like, that's what's happening.
You come up behind her, just your hand around her hand, and then you thrust.
Lustra's love language is combat training.
She was in Chult with you before. Just give her whatever she was good at with before.
Give her a femur.
So what is the plan? Like, is it to leave this evening right now? It's kind of mid-evening. I think you guys had arrived at the house on Griffin Hill as, you know, the sun was starting to set. It is pretty dark. If you set out now, it would be essentially the middle of the night when you got to the border where the mists are.
I would love to sleep with my woman.
Also, if I recall,
I want a different house.
Yes, Killian would also remind everybody that the orcs that took him said we should really get off the road before nightfall. So traveling at night, I don't think, is probably the smartest of
ideas. Dude's a ghost. He can wait. He's an immortal ghost. He can wait one more night. That's something that I would have definitely hoped to be like, hey, we're not setting out right now.
Yeah.
He wants us to be... If we die in the mist, it sucks for him.
Yeah, he
if
wants you to be successful.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's a good... We should crash down here for the night.
Which, that brings up a very valid point that we never mentioned a timetable for this. We could take 20 years if we wanted
to. He's not going anywhere.
But neither's Rena.
Yeah.
Which I think kind of is the timeline. I mean, you can see it in her face at the very least. Like, she's okay with whatever decision she makes, but there's definitely this underlying tone of like, but if you could hurry up.
She's human. She doesn't have like centuries.
It's true.
She's been stuck in like, she's been stuck here for longer than we had, like months at least.
She's trash. I mean, she's essentially living in prison, like any like a Dark Lord in a sense. Like, she wants to go home. So, but yeah, I mean, technically,
and she
doesn't
have class levels.
You could wait 20 years and she'd come back, and hopefully she'd still be here, just 20 years older. But
Simon, too.
That isn't what she wants.
No, this is true. This is true.
And I doubt that's what Lucifer or anyone else wants.
Yeah. You are correct.
So. One thing Tess will want to bring up just when we're getting a game plan set. I know you were preoccupied. I mean, this is your story, Lustra, at this point. Troubadour and I did make a contact. the fellow out there, Zalhonen, he at the very least speaks of himself very highly with arcane prowess. And as much as, I mean, I feel think we're all leery of strangers.
I feel he'll watch our back, because he's watching us all the time anyway.
Fair. Yeah. And I mean, for completely platonic purposes, I feel like we should consider bringing him with us. He is an outside factor. He's not part of the deal we made. He is not, as far as we know, he is not a Dark Lord. And he seems to have a vested interest in going to the Neverchar Springs. So he has already reached out to us to take him to where we're already planning to go. And as much as he is not a traveler of the mists, he is a researcher of them. And I think the thing that we need to bring back is information. And his powers with Killian's combined, just if we need to find something that we don't know where it is, what it looks like, I feel like more help would always be beneficial. And I mean, we seem to have a good track record with finding humans in Mordant. I'm just saying.
Plus, his will helps steer the mists, it's one more vote in where we want to go. No offense, Dwarven Mine, Fen Richten's house. Hi, Rena. Happy to meet you.
That's a good point. It's almost a guaranteed vote for Neverchar Springs if you bring him.
Yeah, and, you know, that's it. Happy we're here. You're very pretty. Little tall, though.
Right. Like, now, here's the difference, though. And I realize it's rich coming from me. Like, you've only known me a day. But I am very clearly indebted to you. You saved me. You have reason to trust me. What reason do we have to trust this Firon character?
He's probably
self-interest.
You're fairly confident that he's still awake across the street. If you were to knock on his door, I'm sure he'd be up for an interview.
Like he's even in his house. Still outside.
He's hiding in a bush, just, you know, with like those little tiny binoculars you see at Wimbledon.
We actually just hear,
actually, I'm still awake if you want to talk things out. He's classy. He's got like the big gray nag out there. He's smoking some whatever they kill here and eat, but you know.
Big green egg. Green egg.
It reminds me of
hamburgers, anyone?
Crows picking at the meat on it, you know, whatever.
It reminds me of that old South Park episode of like, you know, the guy with the tube in his throat and
Ned.
Yeah, exactly. And they were looking at some hot mom across the street and they were in the bushes.
Anyway, but yeah, if we want, like, if you're suggesting a late night visit to a sorcerer, caster, warlock, charisma-based person, I mean, we could make that happen. We're probably not leaving until tomorrow. So we have the time.
I think it's most prudent.
Yeah, I'm okay with this. If you guys feel that this is a win for us, I think that we need everything that we can get.
Yeah, right, like, seriously, how many allies have we found in this domain?
And with respect, like, don't get me wrong, Troubadour, Lustra, you're clearly very talented with the weave, but Ferron seems a little bit more closely acquainted. I feel like that would probably be to our benefit, but I just want to make sure that he's not going to, you know, stab us in the back. That's my job.
Best of luck.
Well, if there's someone who I know who is good at reading people, looks over to Rena, you want to come along for the chat? You don't have to say anything, but I would love to have you.
Or you could do all the talking, Rena.
Until Rena says, yeah, of course I'll come. But, you know, I'll tell, like, Rena had no intention of leaving Lustra's side. If you're here till morning, Rena's going to be standing right next to you till morning.
Fair enough.
Amy isn't going to let you out of her sight for the hours that she does have you for.
Mood.
But yeah, everybody is Things are going to get wild tonight.
Yeah, let's just skip past this Zalahonin scene and move on.
Oh, calm down.
Roleplay all that.
Continue the story.
Okay.
So to Ferran Zalahonin?
Indeed.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been 10 minutes. My armor's on. Let's do this.
You catch him just as he's flipping one of those juicy beef patties. He seems to have conjured this large green oval thing with legs in the middle of the street.
With propane and propane accessories.
Taste the meat and not the heat.
Ding-da-ling-da-ling-da-ling-da-ling-da-ling-da-ling.
In all seriousness, though, this Ferran Zalahonin, long black hair, this kind of tight
body.
Tight body that is, you know, nicely hugged by that pretty tight leather overcoat, those sorcerer's robes. But as you approach, he says, "Oh, forgive my curiosity, but it would seem as if you have achieved some sort of goal here in Mordent. You left for the house on Griffin Hill, if I remember correctly. You left as 4 and come back as 5. Seems like it was a success."
"In a manner of speaking, we brokered the deal, and, well, the important things that needed to go right went right."
"Well, bravo to you. A round of applause for your bravery, I'm sure, is in order. You know, I've spent as long as I can remember wandering the lands of Mordent. I've explored every nook and cranny that I could without invoking the wrath of Lord Wilfred Godfroy, so I have never explored his home on Griffin Hill. Sure, I have listened to the tales of dozens of adventurers, but bravo, I say, bravo. And knowing that you have achieved this success, I find myself asking you once again for your help in perhaps traversing the mists. The Nevuchar Springs, if you recall, is my destination."
"How convenient."
"Right, and we would love to have you make our group of 5, well, 5 again, but I feel compelled to ask you a few questions, if you don't mind."
Of course. "Why, I quite frankly would think a bit lower of you if you simply agreed blindly to this arrangement."
"Wow."
"Oh, you're one of them. You've never been to the house on Griffin Hill, but, how did you find yourself in Mordent? And more importantly, what is your relationship with Lord Godfroy?"
"From what I've heard of Godfroy, I should be thankful that I have no relationship with him. As far as how long I've been here in Mordent, why, for as long as I can remember."
"That's not a time. I remember a week."
"Fair, very fair. Why, it's been..." He seems to like have to think about it for a little bit. It's, you can tell it's like a thought that he hasn't thought about in a while. He says, "My goodness, I suppose it has been quite some time. Why, I'd say a year at the very least."
"And Lord Godfroy has not taken any interest in this year-long denizen of Mordent."
It's because he doesn't stand outside of Godfroy's house.
"I mean, yeah, but at the same time, if he's got a ghosty part of him, like, you'd think he would take... they took notice of us."
"Fair. Probably knows about his bird, though. What's up with the bird?"
"It's a simple magic trick. Just kind of makes a quick gesture with his hands, and Skeever just disappears. This is a familiar. Apologies if my not telling you that earlier seemed suspicious.
Nah, that's cool. And then Troubadour whistles, and then a beautiful horse with a carriage.
Oh, my. My. It seems as if you are quite skilled yourself, young knight of the circle.
Don't I know it.
Listen, Phil, not Philian, that's the horse. Sorry.
He licks you.
Furon, the thing is that you're clearly very skilled in your own right. And
I'd like to think so, yes.
And it's to our benefit to know your skill set should we decide to take you along.
Of course.
So, forgive the, I guess the brashness of this question, but like, what are you? Are you a warlock, a sorcerer, a wizard?
Fair question. A fair question, young investigator.
What are your strength, wisdom, and charisma scores?
Basically.
That's your D&D name tag. It's name, pronouns, class.
As far as how I have avoided the attention of Godfroy for so long, that question is answered quite simply. You see, since my arrival here, I have spent all my time traversing all of Mordent, learning all that I could. I have listened to the tales of dozens of people. I have studied every book I could find. I like to think of myself as having reached a point, though, where there's simply nothing left for me to learn here in Mordant. And what is there to life, after all, if you cannot learn new things? But I see what you want is an answer to my background. I consider myself a scholar. Had I been born a few years earlier, perhaps my life would have been different. Perhaps I would have been a great ruler. I was born the second of three sons, you see. My father was Lord Turaliton Zalhonin, ruler of a faraway land, a land called Nurl. That's spelled K-N-U-R-L. It's a place far outside of these mists. But as second born, my political future was decidedly dim from birth. And my parents overlooked me, spent all their time grooming my older brother. So I took up a life of magic. More specifically, of wizardry. I like to think I've learned quite a bit over the years. Why, perhaps that is why these mists decided to pull me into the domains of dread. Perhaps the Lady of the Mists herself saw something in me that she thought could help.
Tess's eyes are like way more intense than they have been before. She thought he was just a mist liver. Like, as soon as he mentions that he was pulled in. You were pulled in? How long ago?
It's like I have said, about a year. I do apologize for not keeping track of the specific amount of days,
but
yes, approximately a year I've been here.
This is your first domain, and it's been this domain the whole time?
Yes, that is correct.
Then
there's something about the mist, despite my powers. It's just all the tales I have heard of them. I simply find myself too frightened to enter on my own.
Ooh, yeah, Killian's going to do an insight check on that one.
Sure.
Like, there's no way. Fuck. sorry. Dang. that is going to be an 8.
Your girlfriend's not here. You can swear all you want.
He seems sincere.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the story's pretty viable, really. I mean, would Killian want to go in there by himself? I know the first time he did enter them, he did go in by himself, but knowing more about them now, would you go back by yourself?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Killian sort of nods. All right, fair enough. Now, if I'm to understand you correctly, you're a wizard of sorts. Wizards typically prefer certain schools over others. Do you have a preference, or you just a whatever finds your fancy?
As I've always considered myself a scholar of all magics, but although I do tend to keep as far away from confrontation as possible, I have learned that a strong defense is often the best offense. And with that, he kind of snaps his fingers and a ball of fire just starts to kind of appear, you know, above his open palms. I've dedicated most of my time to evocation.
All right, all right. That's fair. I understand those words. he sort of, you know, looks over to Tess, Trudor, and Lucer, hoping he understand that one of them catches what that means.
Flashy and fire. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I think most of your players would know enough about what's up that, yeah, evocation tends to be. Yeah. Like, evocation is the school of magic that Fireball is in.
It's the boom, boom, pow, it's pow.
Big old fire. Yeah.
So what would you ask of us if we take you along?
I think the more appropriate question would be, what will we do once we get to the Neverchar Springs? You're just interested in learning more? Clearly you've got some kind of motive outside of knowledge. Or is that literally it?
And both of those questions. Answer both of them.
Thank you, Tess.
Perhaps your questions would be best answered by knowing what my ultimate goal is, if you will. You see, in my travels throughout Mordent and in Nurl, when I was outside of these domains, there always seems to be a common theme in the tales I hear. A group of adventurers trying to do good in the world, trying to make a difference. But they are always thwarted by the same thing. A lack of knowledge. The domains of dread are all unique, you see. And it is in that uniqueness that their true danger lies. Think of the domains you have traveled to in your journeys. Think of how much easier things would have been had you had a textbook that described these places for you before you ever arrived. That is what I seek to do. All the knowledge of the mists, all contained within one book. I have heard of the many guides that the great Van Richten wrote throughout his career. I have even heard tales of scholars on the material plane that write such guides. Volo's Guide to Monsters is a title I have heard many times. He spreads his arms wide and shrugs a bit and says, "This is what I seek to accomplish. Firanz Alhonin's ultimate guide to the domains of dread." Why, think how much more successful groups like yourselves would be if such a text existed.
Would be fantastic. Be amazing.
And with your help and guidance, I can begin Chapter 2. Dark on. For I am very much of the opinion that my chapter on Mordent has come to an end.
So how does it work then? Do we get to read that chapter? Maybe a little editing? We help you with Darkon? We get a bit of royalties? Or are those royalties just fireballs that you help us quid pro quo with?
As I am open to any negotiation, as long as it gets me out of here.
I am all for any gets you out of here.
I was going to offer gold, paths, magic items, my immense knowledge of the mists, but...
We'll take magic items.
If all you want to do is read my book, that works too.
I know. You know what? Shut up and shinies.
Killian looks to him and nods knowingly. Well, you've certainly passed my litmus test so far, from what I can gather. Once again, forgive the repeat on what I was explaining earlier, but I find it difficult to believe that you've been here a year and Godfrey has not taken any kind of interest in you. I have a deep sensation that if we leave this plane of existence, this domain of dread, and we take you with us, he's going to notice, hey, this lad that's been here for a year is now gone. What's going on?
Well, he probably knows where he's going with.
I apologize if I have confused you in any way. As far as here, residing across the street from Van Richten's herbalist shop, a week and a half, perhaps. The rest of the year has been spent traveling Mordent from corner to corner. Exploring.
Do you have any enemies that we should be aware of?
In Mordent, outside of Godfrey at least, I would say the largest threat are the orcs. The land is riddled with orcish encampments.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Every... cliff, every cave you will find will be filled with them.
Lustra looks to Rena, kind of nods approvingly, looks for Rena's reaction.
She just kind of whispers to you, like, he seems all right.
Lustra leans over to the rest of the crew.
She kind of whispers in your ear and says, could always test him, I guess. You guys have learned a lot. Ask him a question. See if he knows the answer. Ask him something you know the answer to, maybe.
So, if you were pulled into the mists and you came here, are you aware of any... What creatures did you run into when you were in the mists?
He says, with what appears to be a very sincere look on his face, is I don't know how I managed it now that I have heard tales of other adventurers, but why I simply did not encounter anything. I have heard, though, that oftentimes the first pulling in, if you will, of a soul can be quite a peaceful transition.
Tess sort of like inadvertently laughs bitterly.
Maybe peaceful wasn't the right
word. Lenara and Slash laugh from the grave.
Yeah, basically.
Just flash back to the, like, what is freaking NPC arrow above Slash's head on the giant tidal wave.
Beth and Peter as well.
Yeah.
It's just a cacophony of voices.
No, but that's...
But if you guys remember, the first time yous were pulled into the mists, like, you didn't even travel the mists. You were just on a boat, and then suddenly there was a massive fucking storm, and you were in the mists. Yeah. Yep. You didn't even realize it happened.
Exactly. We fought some piranhas.
Yeah, there was really
after we were there.
Yeah, there was no indication you were in the domains of dread till you started talking to people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Honestly, I like that's one check mark in his favor because like if he was like, oh yes, I fought many beasts of woe and stuff.
Well, I'm thinking more along the lines of. You know, when we were doing the voting process and we saw, you know, multiple lines open and close and then, you know, we were navigating the mists and then there was flying horrors and then at one point we ran into Madame Lysenia, like is mm-hmm. it peaceful? Like,
well, that's the second time we traveled. That's not when we were pulled in. And he has been in Mordant. He was in the material plane. He was pulled to Mordant. He's been here since. Correct?
Fair, fair.
That's okay. What he's saying. Yeah.
Okay. No, that's...
So he wouldn't have traveled.
That's fair. That's a fair evaluation.
So his story checks out.
Oh, plus he's not ready for the next little vacation. Trip number two.
Yeah. Alrighty. Above the table, is there anything we could ask him?
Troubadour doesn't care. Troubadour wants to see what he does.
Yeah, like,
he's more action than words.
Admittedly, from what he's said, I think this is okay.
Like, above the table, I'm still apprehensive, but... And so is Killian. Killian is very apprehensive, but he seems to be on the level enough.
Oh, wait, I just realized. Miles is the only person at this table not incredibly well experienced with someone you expect with traveling with someone you expect to stab you in your sleep. We've had like 130 episodes to get used to it.
Exactly.
Oh, I vote, like, my vote is bring him now, give Killian no more context, stew in it, bitch.
Okay.
You know what? You know what? This is my bed. I need to lie in it, you know? Like, I get it. So, above the table, yeah. I think everything is A-okay. I think we should go back into it. He's coming along with us.
Okay, it isn't, but he is, yeah.
While he sleeps, Troubadour's going to start drawing tattoos on his neck.
On Furon's or on Killian's?
On Furon's neck. Oh, unfortunately, okay. All the tattoos are going to say Baron Midas, but...
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
But, like, that said, he claims to have, like, a vast knowledge of the mists. Like, how did he learn of the... I mean, I assume he learned of the Neverchar Springs from a passing adventurer.
Troubadour wants to see him. It's like, he thinks he knows these things? Perfect. It's like somebody who does a lot of book learning. Let's bring you out to wherever you want to see, wherever you want to go.
I'm feeling attacked.
Let's give him Paris syndrome. It's like, oh, I want to go to Paris. This is going to be amazing. Let's see what's going on. I can't wait to learn. And then he's like, this is a dirty old city that smells like piss.
Oh. Apologies to our French listeners.
Yeah, that's fair, that's fair.
The country of Japan has a helpline for it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, do you know what to expect when we travel the mists? I know you're frightened of it, but have you been told by the people you have spoken to?
I have been told of tales of terrible creatures, of flying horrors and worse, yes. These tales have certainly played into my fear. It simply does not seem like a good idea to enter alone.
That's why I usually bring friends. I'm down for it. See you at sunrise. I'm going to sleep. Troubadour's going to go. Actually, Troubadour's going to sleep in the carriage. Screw it.
Killian also nods. Well, you seem to be on the level here. Forgive our distrust. Or at least my distrust. But thank you for your honest reciprocation of my questions. At the end of the day, we will see you tomorrow. And I feel, in Killian a look to Lustra, we take off tomorrow?
Lustra nods, yeah, absolutely.
All right. And Killian will excuse himself and retire for the evening.
Luther will ask one more question. Do you know the sending spell by chance?
No, I'm afraid sending is not a spell that I have taken the time to familiarize myself with. I am capable of scrying, however, if you grant me enough time to do so.
Well, that is certainly a good compromise. I am... okay with you traveling with us if you so choose.
He does warn you that scrying does have to be like on the same plane. So he won't, if your intention was to like check up on Rena, he's not going to be able to do that once we leave Mordant.
Damn. Well, it's still a very powerful spell regardless.
1000%.
Yeah, it does speak of his capabilities, scrying.
That's level 5?
Yeah, scrying's a 5th level spell, so it does speak of his magical prowess.
Well, if you can certainly scry, you, like I said, you've earned my favor at least.
Well, it's not like I care or anything if he comes with us or not, but like...
I think I can speak for all of us when I say that you're welcome to come along to us, with us, to Darkon.
Right. Welcome, Simon, too.
Tess will just, like, slowly turn.
At the same time, Veronzal Honan's going to take the pouch of, like, 1,000 gold that he was going to use to negotiate and slowly put it behind his back. Oh, that's wonderful.
Troubadour's going to shout from his carriage, I said magic items! As he's getting in his PJs. Which, again, is the potato sack.
All right, Firan, it looks like we have something you need, and you have... Traveling with us would give us benefits as well. But... I need to say this, because we have been burned before. If you figuratively or literally leave us holding the bag, it will end very poorly for you. And very painfully. There are a few things that I have learned in these domains, but most of them involve ending life. I really hope it doesn't come to that, and I really hope that we can take what you say at face value.
He kind of bows respectfully, almost like does a curtsy of a kind, spread his arms out, lowers his head, and then raises it again, says, "You have my word. All I seek is knowledge of this place. I truly think a book or some consolidation of knowledge would be most beneficial to so many. I have no intention or desire to screw any of you over in any way."
Inside check.
Sure.
13.
He kind of like lightly brushes a finger across Tess's arm and just says, "Especially not you." Gives you a little sexy wink.
God damn it. I gotta go. You don't be late. We leave at the crack of noon dawn.
I know of dawn. It's late out, but is it warm out here? He starts unbuttoning his shirt.
That's your barbecue. It's burning now.
Oh my goodness, the burgers. Oh no.
That was marbled ground chuck. Cost 3 gold a pound.
This guy's like a master of evocation and can command fire, but still has a big green egg for some reason.
It's about the process.
Yeah. It's about the way the smoke flows on exactly. The inside.
He'd know more of anybody.
You don't just throw beef on the grill, you slowly bring it to temperature.
Okay, Tess is gonna, like, about face and just, like, stalk stiffly out of the house and rejoin her compatriots. Well, I hope that this won't be a mistake that we make. Just, like, looks off into the distance for a second. All right, tomorrow, then, we are... are off on another fool's errand.
Right, we have the Mist Talisman. We know. Do we even know where we're going in Darkon when we get there?
Neverchar Springs.
Directly? Like.
Well, we need to get into Darkon specifically. Neverchar Springs is within Darkon.
Yeah.
And then once we get there, we can find the schematics that we need. It's kind of two birds, one stone kind of situation.
Mm. Above the table, did we ever get a name for Neverchar Springs for like one of the elves that was there? I feel like somebody...
Yeah, the name was given to you by Ferran Zalhonen, as a matter of fact. The name is Cardina Artaz. She is the... From the rumors that Ferran has heard, she's the elder elf there and has been reincarnated three times. So has thousands of years of memories in her head.
Thrice, baby.
Thrice reincarnated.
That's like 10 million times the memories Troubadour has.
Yep. Oh my God, I'm going to do the math now.
Oh,
man. Okay, so we're looking for her then.
That's who Ferran is looking for. That's who Ferran is hoping to get answers from in the Neverchar Springs. That's his goal in going there, for sure.
Yeah. And honestly, if the Hour of Ascension happens, I feel like anything in Mordent won't really matter anymore. So I feel like the plan, the new plan is the old plan with a little asterisk by the side. We go, we learn, we try to put a stop to all of this, and if we have the opportunity, we take it. If we have the opportunity to, I mean, who knows, maybe like Azalin Rex is the Lord of Darkon and you checked yourself, he can scry. Maybe there's a way we could locate them if once we're there. I don't know how the fractioning works, but it's...
I think all we can do is do this one step at a time. Yeah. Like, there's so much going on. Right now, the next step is Neverchar Springs.
Yeah, so, fair enough.
Let's just go back to the apothecary or... the apothecary, we'll say. And have a sleep. Then go out into the mists in the morning.
All right.
A solid plan, I think. A solid plan. Make an arrangement with Ferran Zalhonen. You imagine he's across the street, excitedly packing up, getting ready to go in the morning. And what does the rest of the night look for all of you? I mean, I can go ahead and tell you now for the sake of moving things along that the night's going to go fine unless you guys start a fist fight amongst yourselves. If there's no civil war, then you guys are going to have a long
roll
rest.
For initiative, motherfuckers.
All right, Troubadour. Let's see if you can make all of your constitution saving throws.
So everyone's definitely going to benefit from the long rest just to, you know, make things easier on you folks. But what does the night look like? Does it look like anything? Do we just...
For Killian specifically, does he regain his max health on the long rest?
At the end, yes.
Oh, yeah. When
we get up. Okay.
In the morning, Killian's HP reduction will be gone.
Oh, yes. Thank God. Okay, cool.
Rad.
Yeah. When it comes to the night, Killian has very much a ritual that he does. He'll sequester himself off into a room, and as he does so, he will pull the book that has a pressed lily inside. He'll put that down on the floor. Next to it, he'll put down the magnifying glass with a very polished handle from a very special wood next to it. He'll sit cross-legged, and with some dirt that he has in a vial or like in a jar kind of thing, he'll sort of, you know, just sort of sprinkle it over the two items, and he'll just sit and wait. And as he sits and waits, unbeknownst to everybody else, but to him, you know, a spectral figure would start speaking to him. In this case, it is going to be a spectral figure that is was previously somebody who used to be a bounty hunter in life. He'll have a long conversation with him, you know, talking with him throughout the next hour or so.
And if I'm not mistaken, this kind of happens like in a dream almost, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe like while Killian is kind of sitting there cross-legged on the floor, almost in meditation, like he sort of dozes off.
Basically, yeah. before he passes out on the ground entirely. And basically, mechanically, what's happening is one of the features that he gets is something called Whispers of the Dead, which basically each night I can choose a skill I don't have proficiency in and gain proficiency with it. In this case, I am changing my proficiency to survival, which is something I don't normally have proficiency in.
Oh, very cool. So knowing that this, you know, this treacherous journey is ahead tomorrow,
yeah,
Killian is just going to like talk to a ghost in his sleep and learn all about survival.
Exactly.
It's a really cool,
exactly,
cool little concept.
I get the feeling that this was specifically a bounty hunter that was hunting people down in Darkon, and then eventually, you know, the Kargatane got after him, found out that he killed like a Kargatane person, and was like, "Nope, we're gonna bury you in this graveyard now." And then, as a way of helping him come to rest, he has to sort of work through the survival aspects in the next day.
Very cool. Very cool. I think that kind of like answers the question of, like, how did Killian get to level 8? Like, how is he as skilled as he is with having hardly done any adventuring before? And the answer is that you've got an army of ghosts in your dreams that tell
you're
you everything.
You're the
avatar. Well, we know that Killian can't fight for shit, so
fair.
He had to get his knowledge somewhere.
Now, we went through hell. You lived at home and like watched how-to videos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is the WikiHow of Darkon. But yeah, no, absolutely. He would sort of dream about this guy, and yeah, I know, right, Colin? I saw that look.
Oh yeah.
And learn about survival here. So yeah, so when he wakes up in the morning, he's gonna have proficiency in survival for the day.
That's just such a cool little image. What subclass did you say Killian was again?
Killian is a Phantom Rogue.
Phantom Rogue.
Yeah.
Phantom Rogue. Very
finally
cool stuff. So Killian's essentially passed out talking to ghosts right now.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's no shortage here in Mordant either, so.
The Weathermay Foxgrove twins, Jennifer and Lori, have, kind of settled down for the night, finished tidying up, and they're busy kind of helping you folks make preparations, like making sure that you have enough rations for the morning, that kind of thing. Amelia Wigglebrick is in a little corner all by herself, just snoring the most adorable little snores you've ever heard while hugging a bushel of carrots.
Oh my god.
She's just like stroking them like they're a little toy animal,
We are going to get so many heartfelt goodbyes.
She's got like a little carrot plushie that she sleeps with. Carrot pajamas.
Chewing on it in her sleep.
I love her so much.
How is Tess spending the evening?
She's going to like look to the door across the street and be like, no.
You see like a light across the street. Come on. Silly. Confirm that he's still awake.
You can see him sort of like breathe his breath onto the glass, and it just says, "You up?"
Open bathroom.
Yeah, just pressing his nipple up against the window.
All right, you're trying too hard.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Quite sorry.
Well, I've become anti-seduced. Moving on. I do want to, just as we're getting ready to bed down for the night, I just want to take Lustra aside for a moment and just say, do you have a minute?
Yeah, sure. What's up?
As long as you say to Rena as well.
Yeah, she does. Rena is right there and says, "Oh, should I give y'all a few? I'll be waiting when you're ready, Lustra." And she like excuses herself.
Apologies.
Give her a little peck as she goes. Yeah, thank you.
I'm proud of you, Lustra. It's probably weird coming from me, because, we've been through practically the same thing, but for me, this has been, from perspective, it's been a drop in a lifespan that could last centuries. For you, it's You're so young. This is not the way to come into adulthood, as much as the great sagas would say otherwise. But what you have put up with, what you have become over this short time, I've come to respect you, your process, and what matters to you. But there's one thing that I feel that I'm not supposed to be here. None of us are, but if there's anyone who has proficiency in it, it is you. But you are more than just what you are able to do. And you have done so much. I'm worried. We, for lack of a better term, with some caveats, we won today. We went in with a plan, we executed it, and you have Rina again. I know we have, you have to say good, it's not goodbye, it's see you later, but I just don't want you to, I'm sorry, I'm not good at this, I don't want you to squander the time that you have. Time is precious, and she is the reason you're here. That is what you have said every step of this journey. And I think the steps on the journey may have become your focus. So I can appreciate that laser focus, and we will need that going forward. But I think you deserve to take off that mantle of leadership, at least for a little bit. She has been waiting for you. You have been searching for her. And all we have done today is plan the next step. We found her and we were immediately planning what to do after. And sometimes, there is nothing after. Just, I'm sorry.
No, don't be. Like, I appreciate what you're saying, Tess. Just, when it comes to, you don't know my background all that much because I haven't talked about it a whole lot. When it comes to my clan, Clan Ostium, the whole symbol of my rosary, and I'm telling you this because I've known you very long, I trust you. Rina knows this, I trust her. When it comes to the whole clan ideology that I come from, it's about putting multidimensional creatures back in their rightful place. A ghost doesn't belong in the material plane. I put it back in its place. A demon doesn't belong in the material plane. I put it back in its place. A devil, a aberration, what have you. Everything I see here doesn't belong in its place. It is my clan's duty, and therefore my duty, to try and put things in their place. So when I see this Dark Lord, you know, abusing dimensional travel, dimensional living, just, it makes my blood boil on a very almost ancestral, instinctual level. And when they take the people that have made me who I am, like Rina, you know, like I've been trapped in my clan to a certain degree, and Rina has shown me the world around it. Who's taught me high society, who's taught me what it means to live in a city, who's taught me about trade, who's taught me about business, who's taught me about, you know, commerce, economy, about how gold works, how, you know, there's upper class, lower class, and just, and more than just the idea of what my clan had, right? Like she's taught me so much, but my point being is what you're saying is important. What Rina is saying is important. But the thing is, like, I've made my choice in being this. It's done willingly. I appreciate what you're saying, and I appreciate the concern that you want me to have more individuality in that I'm more than just a mistraveler, that I'm more than just this. But my pride as a dragonborn in the clan that I have is the most important thing to me, and I choose this. And I feel that everybody has their own purpose. I just happen to know mine. I appreciate the words that you're saying. I appreciate the support. And if I happen to stray away from it, I will definitely come to you. There's very few people I trust. And if there's anyone who I'm going to trust outside of Rena, outside of the people here, you are at the top of my list. But I was bred and born to do this. I'm going to do all that I can to make the biggest impact that I can. And I don't need to think further than that, because that's how deeply I believe this. As Troubadour once said, his words were binding. If there's ever words that were binding, these would be my binding words. I'm not a paladin, and I may go behind, you know, I may not come up short on this, but if there was ever an attempt at it, it would be at these words.
Tess will look very sad, and she'll look in your eyes and see the determination that you have there. I think that is noble. You are stronger than me. She'll put her hand on your shoulder and say, this goes for anyone, but just know, I am invested in getting out of here, but I am invested in letting you have something that I could not. So, if there's anything that you need, you can call on me anytime, and I will run to you as fast as I can. Just remember, don't get in too deep, because I am not stronger than you.
Luster takes the hand that you put on my shoulder, brings you into a hug, and says, we are equal. Arguably, your life is worth more than mine, as far as I'm concerned. I appreciate the offer. I will take it since you have allowed me. But just know that this is a two-way street. And brings you back to arm's length. Says, I appreciate this talk. I really do.
I will see you in the morning. Don't worry. I'll keep an eye on the out for the bagman for you. You don't have to worry about that. And she'll...
Bagman, because I'm menage a trois, buddy.
And she will just as we break contact, she will sort of just like 1 inch punch you in the sternum for a just to give you a hands of healing, little positive key energy there, some acupuncture.
I like it.
You got this.
I like it.
Oh, brings my buddy at attention. Cool.
So weird foreplay.
Some meaningful words exchanged between the last two original survivors, the last two who remember that journey on the Mercy, the last two who remember the horrors of Dominia.
And the dolphin.
So much have Tess and Lucera been through. Been through a lot. Troubadour, what you doing?
Troubadour's been long asleep. He was already like, yeah, I'm not feeling burgers, not enough blood. So,
overcooked.
At this point, he is sleeping in the back of the carriage. In the front seat, Olive's armor laid out immaculately. He's cuddling the sword, spooning that, using his shield as a blanket and his vestments as a pillow as he sleeps in his potato sack, and just with Nathan Fillion's head just inside the carriage, just slowly scratching his head as Aww. They both fall asleep.
Oh, I like it. How sweet. How sweet.
I need like a picture-in-picture of, like, just Amelia, like a smash cut of Amelia sleeping, cuddling her plush carrot, uh-huh. And Troubadour cuddling his very not-plush flame tongue.
Yeah, it's effectively the same juxtaposition, but a lot more fire.
Hell yeah.
I love it. I love it. I think the last scene we'll go to is one of Lustra and Rena retiring for the night. And you can see, like, the look in Lustra's face. You can see that he's trying to find the right words, trying to find what to say next. But it's Rena that just kind of puts a finger on his lips and curls herself up in his arms to enjoy a moment of silence and closeness before the horrors of tomorrow show up. And I think we'll call it a night there.
What a sweet ending to this particularly terrible domain of dread. Oh, man. We're going to get fucked tomorrow, aren't we?
Yep.
Or tonight if Lucia's lucky.